It is great to be with you. It's great to be with you because I also prayed from Burundi from this inception of this guy. I was excited to see it come together and grow, and very good friends with the Wisdoms who are obviously out there with us in Burundi and now back here and part of your community. So God bless each and every one of you, whether you're from the immediate or whether you come from other churches here. I hope I am an encouragement. What I share this evening will be an encouragement to you. We're going to have some pictures by means of sort of intro. Who's heard me here before? All right, well, it's not that many at all. Brilliant. So it's mostly fresh. So let's have a look. Hopefully some pictures will come up on the screen. So if you didn't know, the agenda, by the way, tonight is not sharing about Burundi, but it just gives context in terms of how the Lord wants to meet with each one of us. And it's often through stories, isn't it? So I'm going to tell a whole bunch of stories. And that's where I lived and worked out there since 1999. That's when I went out there. I went out there in response to a prayer that I'll encourage all of us to pray at the end of tonight. And my prayer that took me to Burundi, so I went to the most expensive school in England, then I went to Loughborough University, so I'm a sportsman, then I went into a good job. So I was on that conveyor belt, if you like, to success and wealth. And age 25, I think I was, I said, all right, Lord, bring it on. I'll do anything, I'll go anywhere. So that was the prayer that took me to Burundi. That's not a complicated prayer, is it? I'll do anything, I'll go anywhere. I did a one-year Bible preaching course in London, and I was saying, bring it on, Lord. I'm single, I'm available, there's no strings, I'm not going to bargain with you. I'll do anything, I'll go anywhere. I don't want security, because security is a mixed blessing, because when we're secure in and of ourselves, then we don't need God, right? Amen? Amen. Yeah. That was a lame amen. But maybe it's a lame amen because actually we do want security. We love security. And we have to actually acknowledge that, is my security in the right place? Because there's nothing wrong with the house or the pension or whatever. But, you know, if our security is in that, then it is wrong. That makes it an idol. And our security is meant to be in Jesus, nothing else, no one else. And so that was my prayer. And it was the second last day of that course. And this bloke tracked me down, received a scribbled piece of paper with a number and a name on it saying this guy wants to meet you. So I rang him. We met up in the city in Bishopsgate in central London. I had never met this guy, didn't know who on earth he was. And he starts saying, I believe God sent me to you. He wants you to Burundi and be involved in youth and mission and evangelism. My heart's thumping in my chest. You know, God, is this you? Is he a nut job? Is it you? And so I said to him, all right, thanks, weirdo. I'll think about it. I'll be spiritual. I'll pray about it. I went back to my job, kept it open for me. I was there in front of the computer, said, all right, Lord, I'll fast and pray today. I want a radical answer now, right now, to justify this radical change of career. Specific prayer, wasn't it? Give me a radical answer right now about Burundi, if you want me to go to Burundi. And I kid you not, the phone rang. I picked the phone up, and the voice on the other end, out of the blue, said, you know anyone who wants to work in Burundi? Well, what do you do with that? You know, sometimes life swings on a phone call. And this evening, for a few of you, probably not majority, but it could just swing. You know, if you were up for it, if you're not going to bargain with him. And I think often we do bargain, don't we? We say, well, yeah, I'm in if you give me a husband, or I'm in if you pay the bills, or if you keep my kids safe. You know, that's been a big one for us, for Wisdoms and us. You know, going out to Burundi, massive. And actually, on Sunday, after 20 years, 19 years and 10 months, I knelt on the tarmac floor, and I just, you know, before getting on the plane, I just, Lord, thank you. Thank you. Praise you, Lord. Because the wife didn't get raped, and the kids aren't traumatized. But you can know how heavy that is. We bargain with God. He said, I can't bless you until I have you. And when we try to keep areas of our lives our own, they're areas of death, and in love, he claims all. He says, don't bargain. That's not easy, is it? So I'm not going to give you a soft sell this evening. But if you want life and life to the full, which he promises, that's John 10:10, isn't it? Jesus said, I've come to have life and life to the full. But the start of that verse gives the context, which is the enemy comes to steal and kill and destroy. But I have come. You have life and life to the full. So we've got an enemy. It's very real. There's a battle going on. Some of us are more engaged and more aware of it than others. Living in Burundi, you cannot really not be engaged because there's often evidence that you listen to of a literal war going on. But there's a war going on here, isn't there? There's a war going on around this county in this part of England, and we need to wake up and be aware of it. So that was the start of my journey, 20 years, and I review it now. I look back and I say, you know, Ephesians 3, you were the God of the immeasurably more than all I could have asked for or imagined. It's been absolutely extraordinary and amazing and costly on some levels. I haven't paid the ultimate cost. Some of my colleagues have been killed. And people I care about, and so there's been some heavy stuff in the mix, but in God's mercy, in our case, he's protected us, and that doesn't make us any better than anyone else. It's just sometimes, you know, stuff happens, isn't it? And there are casualties in war, and we need to stick close together. And so that's been my field of operation, if you like. Next one, All right, so this is particularly what happened from 2015 onwards. So when I went out there, it was the most dangerous country in the world. I know that because my mummy sent me through the newspaper cutting, charting it, and there was Burundi, and I don't know if she was trying to encourage me, but those first 3 years, 99, 2002-ish, totally thought I'd die before the age of 30, which is not a bad way to live, because if you think you're going to die next week, you're not going to waste today. You're not going to spend 6 hours on PlayStation or whatever it is, you know, because there's too much to live for, isn't there? And so you learn really cool lessons in an extreme environment that apply everywhere. Anyway, we had peace came in 2010, and then 2015, it kicked off again. And yeah, you want a gloriously positive narrative. I can't give you that because it hit the fan and we've gone back 20 years. And, you know, is this being recorded? You know, the heavy stuff that I wouldn't want people to hear me saying back there in terms of this guy, you know, all sorts. And next one. And again, so there was an attempted overthrow of the regime, and it didn't work. And so after that, as in Turkey, wherever, where a coup fails, it's a chance to really clean up. And so a lot of people have suffered in the mix, and it's been royally depressing. On many levels, but not on every level, because Jesus is still on his throne, and actually it has just made our work even more effective and beautiful, because the light shines brightest in the darkest places, doesn't it? Next one. So yeah, I've just brought two books this evening. A bunch of you have already got the Choose Life, top right, it's Daily Devotional. Another one is that More Than Conquerors, Call to Radical Discipleship. You'll probably work it out as I'm talking, as you know, my logic would be, how far is too far when Jesus stretches his arms out wide and says, that's how far I went for you. He's saying, so grab those afterwards if you'd like. Next one, that's our charity. And again, and if you want a picture that sort of illustrates, when I talk about Burundi being the hungriest country in the world with the highest rate of malnutrition, 56% of the country malnourished. Well, that's my precious Canadian friend George's daughter, Alma. She's 4 years old in that picture. The girl whose hand she is holding is 4 years old as well. And that's just sick and wrong, isn't it? And she's probably dead now. And if she's not dead, then her brain is stunted in terms of developmental growth. And that's just wrong. And God wants us to get angry, doesn't he, about stuff? There's righteous anger. Be angry and don't sin. Paul wrote, didn't say don't be angry and hold it back. He said, be in your anger, or be angry and don't sin. And there's lots of fights worth picking here, aren't there? There's injustice all over the place. And we're called to be salt and light and address it. Next one. So this is my brother, my colleague, my twin, and I'll explain to you what I mean by twin. And that is because in 2013, I was like, all right, let's say I'm leaving in 5 years. Got a five-year phase-out plan. 2013, 5 years, that's now, isn't it? And so I approached this man. This man I describe as the most amazing man I've ever met. So he's not a good African leader. He's a good world leader. He's way more impressive than I am. Trained as a lawyer, never practiced law. It's called an S4. And he'd pioneered this extraordinary organization that we've probably seen, I'll tell some more stories in a sec, but we've probably seen 100,000 people come to Jesus under his pioneering work. Mind-blowing. And so he'd built this movement, and I approached him and said, would you, in 5 years' time-ish, are you game on to take on Glow from me? That's my dream scenario. It's not a white man, it's not the white man's religion, you know, it's not our continent, it's not our culture, it's not our proverbs, whatever. And so I wanted an indigenous leader. And he said to me, yeah, that's really interesting, and maybe. Inside, he said to me, you know, in my arrogance and pride, I was like, no, Simon, I'm not taking over for you. I'm a pioneer. I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to lead this organization. I'm going to start another great organization, which I'm going to lead. So that's what he was saying inside. Anyway, what had happened was that a pastor who had five kids, all five kids were rebellious, and S4 was used to set four of those five kids on fire, from total rebels to, you know, leaders, catalytic leaders. Well, if you're a dad or a mum, you're going to be seriously grateful, aren't you, to an S4. So that pastor, he chose to fast and pray for 40 days to thank God for an S4 and to pray for God to speak into an S4's life. 40 days on, this weak man calls an S4 into the room. And this man didn't know that an S4 was about to leave, considering leaving an organization, and he'd never heard of me. And this was the message he gave him. He says, and that's why I've been praying, the Lord's spoken to me, you are going to leave your organization, and God is giving you a twin to change the nation, and his name is Simon. I mean, isn't that awesome? That's beautiful. And it came after 40 days of seeking the Lord. How much do we want of God? I find that very challenging. How much, I've done 3 years of theological training. The only line I can remember is, how much do you want of God? Because no one has less of God than they want. How much do you want of God? No one has less of God than they want. You know, how desperate are we this evening to meet with him, for our communities to be changed? And that's his heart's desire. We're praying according to him, but it's sometimes challenging. He's calling us to dig deep and really get in there. Just as I still share, by the way, wherever I go, I say, you know, I'm not after your money, but I am after your prayers. I've done this for years, and it just means that I think our work is so fruitful because people pray. So is that piece, it's already gone, is it? Okay, so that's Gareth, can you just chat that along? So that's what this is about. So can you pass it along and only sign up if you want to, and it just means that that's why our work is so fruitful. And although I've stepped back, it's all the more critical right now. I've left it in a man's hands who's more capable than me, and it's flying. So only sign up if you want to. If you do, brilliant. If you don't, no worries. Next one. So yeah, this is what he started this outreach that we've now done for 12 years. If you sign up, probably the first email you'll get from me is that we're going to do this the first 2 months, 2 weeks of August, or the second and third week of August. We'll send out 700 young people. That's a lot of intentional outreach, isn't it? 700 times 14 days, times 6 hours a day, 8 hours a day. That's a lot of man, women hours of evangelism. And they will go out there and they will do the Acts of the Apostles. So they'll get beaten up, some of them, for sure, because it's happened every year. They'll cast out demons. They'll heal the sick. So almost any miracle in the Acts of the Apostles I can just put in instead of whichever place, Bukira Sazi or Ngozi or Kayanza, and we've seen the power of God move amazingly, gloriously. So many cool stories. One lady, she said, F off, we're not interested in your Jesus, to our team, and they're like, easy tiger. And as they're retreating, she said, hang on, come back, I'll let you talk to our village, but first of all, heal this girl. And so what she was saying was, don't just talk a good game, show us the power. So they gathered around this girl, the spectator sport, everyone in the village came to watch, and they prayed over in Jesus' name, and she was demon-possessed. So a whole bunch of different voices, men's voices, were identified, guttural utterances, and they all cast out in Jesus' name. And that lady, a few moments earlier, was saying, F off. Now, with 20 people in that village, she dropped to her knees and gave her life to the Lord. Well, you would, wouldn't you? Next one. Loads of these stories. This is Witch Doctor burning his charms publicly. So our guys showed up and he was excited to make some money. So he invited them in. And, you know, you don't mess with the Witch Doctor. If you do, he'll curse you and your two-year-old will die or whatever. And so people live in great fear of the Witch Doctor. And he was about to do his juju stuff. And then one of them spoke the name of Jesus and he just fell down under the power of God. And he came to a few moments later and he said, can you come back in a couple of days? So they returned a few days later and he assembled the whole village. And there he is at the preaching of the gospel, burning his charms, publicly submitting to the higher power. 50 people in that village gave their lives to the Lord. Again, I think you would, maybe. You see the power of God. And so that's the sort of stuff. And you know, you can't deny a story, can you? So these guys come back totally on fire, goes on national radio. And it's beautiful because those guys come back. And if you send out young people and they experience that, well, they're going to come back. And hopefully the pastor feels secure enough to not crush that, but to release that. And it ramps things up and it's just a virtuous circle. Beautiful. Next one. And this is that boy, his name's Freddie. That photo's taken about 20 years ago. And Freddie was the ugliest boy in Burundi. The reason for that was that he fell in a fire, epileptic fit. And so his face just melted pretty much off. And he didn't have a neck. And so he used to beg with a hoodie on, with his stump, in a place called Kayanza. And, you know, he was the ugliest person. There might be, you know, there's a few cases of melted face people in Burundi that that's happened to. But he was right there. He was the ugliest duckling in Burundi. And a friend of mine called Mbabazi, not many white people get given Burundian names, but she's been there long enough, and she's Canadian. She's called Mbabazi, which means mercy. I've been given a Burundian name. My name's Nakigenda, which means it's a disaster. And so Mbabazi had mercy on him, and she paid to take him to Rwanda for some multiple plastic surgery operations. And the guy, the Russian plastic surgeon, sort of cut him up to death. I mean, he was 4 days in a coma, and he did survive. But the doctor said, you can't touch that body. It needs 10 years of recovery. And so we tracked him down 10 years later. And we went into the bush and we said, where's the melted face guy? And eventually we tracked him down and we were talking about him. And in the bush, we found him. And as we talked about him, he had self-taught himself English. And so I was like, wow, this is incredible. And so we We packed him off to Kenya twice to have, you know, he had a 14-hour operation, he had two 12-hour operations, he had over 100 hours of plastic surgery. And this is years of work. So next one, that's him slowly being rebuilt. That's 10 years later. And then next one, 2 weeks ago, yeah. I mean, it's just so cool, isn't it? And that the context of that is also that, you know, 2 months ago, he graduated with distinction in his degree. We sponsored through studies. So, I mean, that's just the God of the amazing and the over above, isn't it? And that's incredible and it's beautiful. And, you know, you could take so many parables sort of out of that in terms of, you know, God restoring beauty. And we still carry the scars, don't we, of what we've been through. But God is the God of the impossible. I don't know what you're going through this evening. I don't know your life issues, but God's with you in it. And he's with you in it for the long haul. And it's not easy. And he never said it was going to be easy, but he will keep you. And he loves you to bits. And I mean, this makes me think of the most likely way I was going to die in all these years was in an ambush, particularly in 1999 to 2003-ish. You know, one time I went along the road, my mate, like 40 people were killed that day, and we got through. And I was totally ready to die, singing my helmet, saying, bring it on, what a great way to go. You're never going to die. Serving the Lord, singing away. And in one of these ambushes, a man got, I don't know what happened, the others were killed, but he got a bullet through his face. Shattered his face, and he was fortunate to survive and actually get plastic surgery, multiple reconstructive surgeries through an NGO, and so they did the best job they could, but you know, there's only so much you can do, and so he still can't speak, but you can do a lot of talking through your eyes, can't you, in terms of communicating. And he took a piece of paper and a pencil, and he wrote, God never promised us an easy journey, just a safe arrival. And some of you need to hear that tonight. You know, going through a tough time. Hang on in there. You know, would I have said game on 20 years ago if I knew everything? Praise God, we don't, eh? He just gives you enough faith to keep going. Abram, when God called Abram, Genesis chapter 12, said, leave your people, your country, your father's household, go to the land I will show you. He didn't show him straight away. He said, go, and as you go with me, as you journey with me, then I will show you. Progressive revelation in his time. We just got to keep in step with the Spirit, haven't we? And hopefully that's where we're at right now in terms of the Lord saying, all right, time to move on. You've raised up another generation. It's phenomenal. And it has been beautiful to raise up a generation. The joy of being there 20 years is that, for example, I was talking in a meeting with a president, you know, all the bigwigs. The president forced everyone to come to this meeting. And I preached. And afterwards, this lady came up to me and said, Simone, ora ni buka? Simon, do you remember me? I said, I don't remember, She said, 15 years ago, I was on your youth camp, and now I'm a member of parliament serving Jesus. I was like, come on! Because, you know, it takes that long, doesn't it? You know, you guys here, you start something beautiful, but costly and challenged and contested. And, you know, everyone here, if you are following Jesus, expect it to be tough because, you know, Satan is real, right? And he doesn't need to worry about people that he's already got. All his energies are concentrated on wrecking your marriage or getting you to delegate your parenting to screens or you know, he's creative in whatever kind of way, or you compromising in terms of marrying someone that doesn't subscribe to your value system, your faith system, and selling out on that level, or getting actually doing really well in your job and then moving out to a fat house 20 miles away where there's no fellowship, and so actually your kids now don't have any, you know, people to grow up. And that was a case I was talking about earlier on today with someone. So, you know, it's choices we make. We have to be so intentional in terms of how we choose to live our life in a culture which is relentlessly undermining what we're about. Isn't that right? I haven't even got to the scripture yet. I'm binning the other talk, but I wanted to say, forget the what we were going to read. I just want to look at a verse in 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9. It's, you know, 2 Chronicles, who reads that? It's quite a weird book. There's some, you know, it's easy to skip over, and then you could easily miss this. I don't know how many times I've read the Bible through the year, but I just clearly wasn't really engaging every time because I skipped this verse. I missed this glorious little nugget. And in 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9, it says, the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. So that's essentially what I want to speak from. And again, the stories will come into it. But the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed. committed to him. So I tell you what, Harry, we'll bin the pictures now. We'll stop there on that. So, you know, that verse is very encouraging because, you know, God is not ambivalent in about how we live our lives. He is longing. The eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth. They range throughout St. Philip's this evening, longing to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. But there's a deal there, isn't there? He wants to strengthen us, but he wants our hearts to be fully committed. He's like, are you up for this? I want full commitment. I don't want half in, half out. There's nothing worse than being half in, half out, because you can't really enjoy the world. You can't let rip in that because you feel guilty about it. And yet you're not really experiencing the fullness of being close to your Father. And he's saying, be fully, fully, fully in. And as I look back and just testify, you know, we've all got a different story. And by the way, no one can deny your story. And don't wish that you had a more screwed up story, you know, to share. Because I know there's some screwed up stories here, but there's also some quite normal, yeah, my mum and daddy brought me up to love Jesus. And what a privilege that is to miss a whole load of mistakes that some of us didn't get the chance to miss. But everyone's got a story, and no one can deny your story, can they? And so share your story. And the narrative might be that I was just, you know, I had not much to live for. I was constantly down on myself, or I had low self-esteem. And then I heard what God said about me, that, you know, he loved me that much that he sent Jesus to die on the cross, and I have such value to him. And so I know that I'm precious. So no, I'm not going to sleep around anymore, because that's what I was doing, because I needed someone to love me. What I thought was love, but he just, you know, do you know what I mean? We've all got a story. So as I share more of mine, you know, may it just be encouragement to step out. You know that picture of Indiana Jones, and he's on the edge of a cliff, and he's got, you know, that, he's got to get the other side to get the Brucey bonus or whatever it was, and he's bricking himself, and it's a sheer drop, and it's like, that makes no sense to step out. So he's, am I going to do it? And then, but there is, he knows there's an invisible bridge that is there, and eventually he's like, and he goes for it, and the invisible becomes visible, and he gets across, and well done, Indy. You know, that's a great picture of faith. We've got to go. We've got to launch out in faith. We've got to step out of our comfort zones, leave where is safe, and move with him. And so that's what I sought to do, you know, 20 years ago. And I had that crazy, you know, phone call from God, if you like. And I packed my bags and had the farewell party. And then I got a phone call from that same guy. And he said, Simon, I'm really sorry. We misunderstood what the African Brethren were asking for. They didn't want an evangelist preacher type. They wanted a secretary for the bishop. I was like, what? God, what are you doing? That's not my passion, skill set, gifting. But it was too late because I'd had the farewell party, so I had to go. And so I went out, and I went to Rwanda, because Rwanda and Burundi until 1962 used to be one country. It's called Rwanda-Rundi. And my granny, the hardcore old lady, had been out there since 1939. And she was now 83. And she was going to teach me the language. So I sat at her feet for 4 months, learning Kinyarwanda, although I now speak Kirundi, which is like, that's how it sounds. So I was with Granny for those 4 months. And for those 4 months with her, and this is 1998, so I don't know if you were on email, but it was just coming in sort of thing. That was where I set up a Hotmail account. And I had about 50 mates on email, so I sent out, guys, please pray, please pray. I don't want to be secretary for the bishop in 4 months when I move down to Burundi. Please, I want to work at Scripture Union. I came to know Jesus through Scripture, and it's not Anglican. You know, if you're Anglican there, then the Anglicans love you, but the rest of the church, you know, you've got nothing to do with them. So my vision was the whole of the youth nationwide. So it's much better to be with an interdenominational ministry in that context. And so I was praying, Lord, please let me work at Scripture Union. When I go down in 4 months, I got friends to pray that in England. And in Burundi, in Bujumbura, at Scripture Union, they heard that this Muzungu, this white guy, was coming, and they were praying, Lord, please send him to us. So you got those prayers going on for several months. Now follow this. On the second last night in Rwanda, Granny prayed me off. She said, God, we've had enough of Simon. Now he surrendered to you. You do whatever you want to do with him. And so I left the north, Byumba. I came down to Kigali, the capital city of Rwanda. I went to one guest house for 10 minutes just to meet and greet my boss who'd flown down from England in that guest house. At the very same time as the head of Scripture in Burundi stopped off on a four-day drive to three countries further away. And we looked at each other and because it was three men from three different countries in transit to two different countries, praying the same agenda, meeting in one guest house in the capital city for 10 minutes. Now, was that a coincidence? No. The eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. That's what he wants from us this evening. So whether it's that initial phone call, Lord, I will do anything, I'll go anywhere. That's a prayer he's going to love, isn't it? Because the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. And then 4 months later, he's like, all right, you know, I know, this is him speaking, not me. Simon Gilbert, he's a fickle duffer. He's got loads of issues, but I'm going to use him to change the world because he's up for it. And so I'll just orchestrate another few sort of chess pieces. And oh, brilliant. And that's an encouragement for him so that when he's got projectile vomit and diarrhea coming out of every orifice, and when he's got death threats, and when someone forges a check and steals 15,000 grand off him, and when he's accused of being pro one tribe, and when, you know, all that rubbish that that comes one's way when one is engaged as a warrior, as in the fight, recognizing the enemy, then he's going to hang on in there because the Lord has spoken and we don't let go. And we know that God loves us and he's cheering for us. He's saying, come on, keep on going. I didn't promise you an easy journey, but you are going to get there. You will get a safe arrival. And you're not going to be like most people, sadly, who get to the end of their life and they're sat there with a shriveled soul in a recliner with loads of stuff. And they think, I just missed it. I played it safe. Does anyone want that? Surely not. It's like, no, we don't want to be that. So Granny, what a great example to me. You know, a few gray hairs here. You know, may this be encouragement to you. I don't think anyone's over 83, are they, tonight? Here? Yeah. Well, Granny, so age 83, you know, Grandpa carks it in Reading and goes to glory himself, an amazing man of faith. Well, Granny's like, well, in England, you're just going to stick me in an old age home. And whereas in Rwanda, I'm an umukechuru. I'm a wise old Dane. And so she went out age 83. She goes out, she works with widows. She's got 15,000 widows in her diocese. So there's plenty of work for her to do. And she starts a widows meeting the first week, 30 come, then 80 and 100 and 200 and 300 and 400. And then there's no room in this cathedral to fit them anymore. So she starts a second meeting. And they start teaching the widow's daughters a trade because without a father there, they're routinely taken for sex. So she's part of this incredible empowering movement. And then so I get to sit at her feet for 4 months, just listen to her stories about interpreting for Corrie ten Boom around the prisons and how they experienced the East African revival. So one day they were just sat there having built the best Protestant school in the country and heard screams and they rushed to the girls' dormitory and the girls were weeping and in confession of sin as the Holy Spirit spontaneously come down and they were confessing how they'd slept with such and such and he'd given her this nice blouse. And you know, it was a spontaneous move of God and I got to just listen to those stories and learn from her. What a privilege. But fast forward three years. So Granny's now 86. You know, she was Cambridge educated, so she's pretty sharp and compos mentis. But she, you know, she was such a wrinkly old battle axe. And this is her last day in action on planet Earth. They'd long prepared this widow's meeting, packed cathedral. She lets rip on them. And then there's the last photo of her taking her alive, doing the traditional Inhode dance like that. And then she said goodbye. And goodbye in English is goodbye. In French, you've got adieu, and you've got au revoir. Au revoir is to the re-seeing, or to the bonana. But adieu is till God. It's almost like the Holy Spirit just whispered in her ears, you're coming home, baby. And so she, you know, she waddled home, and she had a game of Scrabble. And then she had a stroke and went to be with Jesus. What a great way to finish your life. Do you know what I mean? And this will sound a bit glib and flippant. You know, as a grandchild, one of the benefits you might get of your grandparents dying is they might leave you some money. Granny left nothing except these horrific, minging, tasteless, hand-knitted jumpers. But she had a living inheritance and lives. Well, they translate the Bible, so, you know, that's millions. But it was, you know, it was thousands. East African revival, founding Scripture Union. Grandpa started Scripture Union. And, you know, I was preaching in Chicago a few years ago in this suburb called Winnetka, and I can't remember the church, Winnetka Covenant Church, and it was pretty much an all-white church, but there was a black person there, a black brother in the corner, and afterwards he came up to me and said, Gilapo, your grandparents changed my life. I was like, oh, God, thank you. I mean, I didn't need the encouragement on one level to know that my grandparents had given something, their lives for something worthwhile, but wasn't that beautiful? So 8,000 miles across the oceans that he's just saying, come on, the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth, throughout St. Philip's, throughout Salford. Are we in Salford? I said Shalford because I was at Sharston this morning. So just a little tongue twister. But, you know, the eyes of the Lord just range throughout, you know, the estates where we are. And he's longing to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. And so we are off. And Granny's my heroine, I suppose. And she's the epitome for me. My last sermon, Burundi, last Sunday was from 2 Timothy, you know, where Paul is passing on the baton. He knows he's going to die. And he's able to say in 2 Timothy 4, 7 and 8, I've fought the good fight, I've finished the race, I've kept the faith, and now is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the righteous of the Lord will award to me on that day, but not just to me, to all those who are longing for his appearing. So I'm guessing I'm preaching to the choir on one level this evening, that most of us, if you're going to miss out on a lovely sunny evening and come in here, it's probably because you are already on the team. But it's not about the numbers game, but don't we, when we get to glory, when we get to be with Jesus, with a new body, which is going to be great, isn't it? Because most of us, something's wrong with us, our bodies. And on a recreated earth, where there's no more sin, there's no more pain, there's no more mourning, there's no nepotism, ethnic hatred, corruption. It's going to be just holy, beautifully creative and wholesome. You don't want to get there by the skin of your teeth, do you? You want to get there alone. You want to get in there and just, hey, yeah, I'm here because you sponsored me. I was a compassion child. I'm here because you came up to me during youth group. No one would talk to me. And you hung out with me, or you came across, you know, I was busting a gut as a single mum, and you just offered to babysit, or, you know, just, I mean, think of the examples of how we can engage. We can all do this, and it will be costly, but then we are used in the most glorious endeavor of bringing people from death to life, and that's the biggest privilege, truly is. And, you know, through those years, yeah, some sucker punches and some plenty of incidents to make you want to quit. But, you know, you keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, you know, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And he's actually interceding on our behalf right now. And he's cheering us on. And then with that cloud of witnesses, they're all cheering us on. Granny Gilbo's cheering us on. And Paul's cheering us on, and Samson, and Barak, and Jephthah, and all those people listed in the Hebrews 11, they're cheering us on. They're saying, just keep on going. And we can't do it on our own, but we can do it together. You know, my book on radical discipleship, it's more than conquerors, but it's not I am more than the conqueror. I'm not a lone ranger in Burundi. We did it as team. Everything was about relationship. That was one of my mantras. It's all about relationship. The influence, the amazing influence we had was because it was all relational. And our leaders, who all building their little kingdoms, because they'd never been modeled anything else before, you know, we try to bring in this DNA, was that we actually met when that crisis kicked in 2015. We'd already been meeting for 5 years, once a month, having a council of war, and then drawing on our spouses and going away on retreats together, such that when it kicked in, it's like we had this holy discussion within a week of the crisis kicking in. In 1993, the previous genocide, a tract had come out saying, where did the people of God go? Where did the church go? The church screwed up, failed, went to ground, chose fear over faith in 1993. 2015, I got us around the table and said, what are we going to do so that there won't be a tract in 2015 saying, where did the people of God go? And we had this holy moment of going around, counting the cost. You're the best at social media? Right, we'll support that one. You're the best at addressing the militia? We'll support, you know, all that sort of stuff. You're the best at Christian youth, non-Christian youth, pastors, and we divvied up roles and we counted the cost, and it was potentially very costly. It was an amazing season. And who knows what bigger impact, because how can you quantify when genocide doesn't kick in and full-on war doesn't kick in? Like, for example, an S4 and the other guy, Hutu Tutsi, went into the military barracks, invited in. Both of them being shafted from their backgrounds. The guns were at the ready. The keepers of the peace were split along tribal lines, but wanting to kill each other. And they shared their stories. At the end of that day, all the army were back together. They had to go around every military installation in the country preaching that message. It's mind-blowing, isn't it? I can't blog about that and stuff like that. But like, how did that come? That came from relationship. That came from trust being built over years. And so we do this together. We are more than conquerors. We do it together. And that's verse 37 of Romans 8. But verse, you know, it's not a triumphalistic, we are more than conquerors. It's like, no, it comes the other side of verse 35, where Paul writes, who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall trouble, hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, or sword? No, in all those things, we are more than conquerors. John 16:33, Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble. But that's pretty grim if that's the end of the verse, but it's not. That's an imbalanced half of the gospel if it's on its own. But it's true, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. That's why we're more than conquerors, because he's paid the price. And he's commissioning us to go, and this evening again. I'm saying it, repeating it, because I want it to sink into you, and that's a great memory verse to learn. The eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. And this doesn't have to be three of us. And I know it's not three of us, because I already know enough people in this congregation who are full on. You've counted the costs. But I'd love it to be every one of us this evening. And what potential to nuke Salford, Manchester, wherever, in the name of Jesus, because we're fully, St. Charles, you guys, you know, wherever we are, to be used to see his kingdom come. So what's that going to look like? Your context is different from what mine has been for the last 20 years, but it's the same principles, isn't it? It's not bargaining with him. It's coming in surrender. It's wrestling in the heavenlies. I've never fasted for 40 days. I'm not sure I've got that in me. But he's saying, yeah, how about fasting one day a week? You can do that. Seeking his face as a life rhythm. Skipping meals, humbling ourselves before the Lord. Holding each other to account, getting in accountability groups, small groups where we don't slip to the lowest common denominator, but actually raise the bar, not in a judgmental, legalistic sense, but just in, come on. How can we be more effective? You know, does your lifestyle choices marry with what we subscribe to? Do we believe that anything which isn't eternal is eternally out of date? That's a lovely C.S. Lewis pithy quote, isn't it? Anything which isn't eternal is eternally out of date. It's not going to last. We're not going to take it with us. That's why Granny Gilbert got it right. And she's got a glorious eternal inheritance, whilst we got Jack all as grandkids. But brilliant. Because she got it right. She knew what was worth investing in. And so I just want to speak blessing over you guys, as well as a fair amount of challenge this evening, to keep on going, to you know, re-agree and with God that, you know, sometimes some of us feel misunderstood, that, you know, are we a bit too passionate, or is it really worth it? Or people saying, you know, lighten up, or don't be so passionate, or whatever. No, this is worth everything. This really is. And we do it together. And we do it for the long haul. That's looked like 20 years for me out there. You know, some of you might be off next week. You know, it's just keeping a step with the Spirit where he calls. But you pray that prayer, I'll do anything. I'll go anywhere. And then with Abram, we just move. Go to the land I will show you.